Topic 170, Telepathy. 1. It is necessary for all those isolated disciples working in every country in the world to become aware of one another, and then to enter into telepathic rapport. This may seem to you to be a wonderful but impractical vision. I assure you that this is not so. The work of establishing this rapport may indeed be slow, but it is an inevitable effect of the growing sensitivity of all the souls who are working in the field of the world. The first indication of it is that instinctive recognition of those who constitute part of this group when they meet and contact each other in the ways of world intercourse. There comes to them an immediate flashing forth of the light, an instantaneous electrical interplay, a sudden sensing of a similarity of vision and of objective, or a vital opportunity to aid in and cooperate with each other in the work in which it is realized that all are interested. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 421. 2. Someday the true telepathic communication and vision will take the place of speech and of writings. From A Treatise on White Magic, page 478. 3. All small groups of people naturally and inevitably arrive at a telepathic relation between themselves and between the personnel of similar groups, and this is to be desired and fostered and should rightly and steadily increase. From Glamour, A World Problem, page 19. 4. As generally used today, telepathy indicates two powers. 1. An instinctual registering of some situation, some call, and some impression, which impinges on the solar plexus center. This power of impression is not controlled. There is no supervised intentional mental perception of a directed message. There is only a tuning in on a state of mind or on a condition and situation connected with the one who is regarded as sending the message. In 9 cases out of 10, this message is one of distress and goes forward and produces its effect without any capacity on the part of the recipient to induce the reception of the message. An illustration of this would be the recognition by a mother that a loved child is in danger. 2. A form of clairvoyance that enables the man to see that which is hidden, such as the number of symbols on a playing card which is lying face downwards on the table. True telepathy, however, is a direct mental communication from mind to mind, and in its more advanced expression is a communication from soul to soul, using the mind later as a formulator of the communication, as in the case of inspiration. It is interesting to note, and instructive also in view of our subject, that in true telepathic registration, the lesser power may be raised and used at a higher level of awareness. It is well known esoterically that A. Some people simply record telepathically in their minds the information coming from another mind. The registration as well as the communication is wordless and formless. The recipient simply knows, and the imparted knowledge takes form in the consciousness without any intermediate steps or stages. This is formless telepathy. B. Other people instantaneously step down into form the knowledge which has been imparted. They will see the message, word, or information appear before their eyes in written or printed form, as if it were posed upon a moving screen seen within the head. C. Others will step the information down into form whereby they hear it. In these latter two cases, the true man is making use of his latent lower powers, raising them to as high a level as possible, and subordinating them to mental or soul uses. The difference between this usage of the power of clairvoyant and clairaudient demonstrations is that in this case there is full mental control and understanding, and in other cases, the lower powers are automatically employed or uncontrolled, are occupied with matters of no true importance, and are not understood in any way by the one who is employing them. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 565 through 567. 5. One of the characteristics distinguishing the group of world servers and knowers is that the outer organization that holds them integrated is practically non-existent. They are held together by an inner structure of thought and by a telepathic medium of interrelation. The great ones, whom we all seek to serve, are thus linked and can, at the slightest need and with the least expenditure of force, get en rapport with each other. They are all tuned to a particular vibration. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 1. 6. The strong desire to achieve success in telepathic work and the fear of failure are the surest ways to offset fruitful effort. In all such work as this, an attitude of non-attachment and a spirit of don't care are of real assistance. Emotion and desire for anything on the part of the receiving agent creates streams of emanating energy which rebuff or repulse that which seeks to make contact, such as the directed thought of someone seeking rapport. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 10. 7. The first step, then, is the fact of recording and of reducing into correct and available concepts, ideas, and thought forms that which he has registered. This marks the first stage in his truly occult service, and to this new type of service he will be increasingly dedicated. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 93. This is a continuation of topic 170, Telepathy. 8. I have given no instructions as to the art of developing telepathic sensitivity. The reason is, as I have told you before, that the sensitivity should be, and always is, a normal unfoldment when the disciple is correctly oriented, completely dedicated, and learning decentralization. Gradually, as the disciple acquires true freedom of thought and the power to be receptive to the impression of the abstract mind, he creates for himself a reservoir of thought, which becomes available at need for the helping of other people and for the necessities of his growing world service. Later, he becomes sensitive to impression from the hierarchy. The point which I seek to make here, however, is the fact of the existence of a growing reservoir of thought, which the disciple has created in response to the many varying impressions to which he is becoming increasingly sensitive, the ideas, concepts, and spiritual objectives of which he is becoming aware are steadily being formulated by him into thoughts with their appropriated thought forms, and upon these he learns to draw as he seeks to serve his fellow men. The essential point to be grasped is that the sensitivity to impression is a normal and natural unfoldment, paralleling spiritual development. I gave you a clue to the entire process when I said, sensitivity to impression involves the engendering of a magnetic aura upon which the highest impressions can play. I would have you give the deepest consideration to those words. As the disciple begins to demonstrate soul quality, and the second divine aspect takes possession of him and controls and colors his entire life, automatically the higher sensitivity is developed. He becomes a magnet for spiritual ideas and concepts. He attracts into his field of consciousness the outline and later the details of the hierarchical plan. He becomes aware eventually of the planetary purpose. All these impressions are not things which he must seek out and learn laboriously to ascertain, to hold, and seize upon. They drop into his field of consciousness because he has created a magnetic aura which invokes them and brings them into his mind. This magnetic aura begins to form itself from the first moment he makes a contact with his soul. It deepens and grows as those contacts increase in frequency and become eventually an habituated state of consciousness. Then, at will and at all times, he is in rapport with his soul, the second divine aspect. It is this aura which is in reality the reservoir of thought substance upon which he can spiritually rely. A disciple is a magnetic center of light and knowledge, just insofar as the magnetic aura is held by him in a state of receptivity. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, pages 94 through 96. 9. The word telepathy has been used primarily to cover the many phases of mental contact and the exchange of thought without the use of the spoken word or written word or sign. From Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, page 109. 10. The five senses wherein a master is concerned exist and are used at need, but the contact established and maintained with disciples and senior aspirants in the world, through whom they primarily work, is largely telepathic. Hearing and sight, as you understand their uses, are not involved. The science of impression, with its greatly increased effectiveness over individual contact through the senses, has entirely superseded the more strictly human method. Except in the case of masters working on the physical plane and in the physical body, the outer physical senses are in abeyance. For the majority of masters who will still use these senses, the use is strictly limited. Their work is still almost entirely subjective, and the mode of telepathic interplay and of impression is practically all the means that they employ to reach their working agents. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, pages 568 through 569. 11. Telepathic Sensitivity. How, then, can you keep your minds free from your own desires and from your own interpretations? Are there any specific and brief rules which should be obeyed? The following might be given, but I would remind you that it is what you are that counts in this work more powerfully than anything else. The controlling factor is harmlessness in thought and word. The practice of this, with proper observation, will greatly help all of you. Next comes a refusal to think unkindly or with criticism. This is essential in connection with those whose minds you seek to impress. Silence, complete and unbroken as to what you are doing, is also a vital factor. The utterance of words in connection with this most subtle and confidential work, or even the discussion of the work with a fellow disciple, can shatter the delicate thought form which you are attempting to build. It can render the work of weeks abortive. A balanced attitude in relation to those in power throughout the world must also be cultivated. They need, above all else, the inspiration which can be brought to them from the hierarchy. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, pages 65 through 66.